To WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Airlines try to recover after a 90-minute FAA-ordered nationwide ground stop this morning. Thousands of flights were delayed or canceled. This woman was stuck in Richmond, Virginia.
It's crazy that it's affected this many flights, this many people.
The FAA says a damaged database file caused the outage. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Issues with the FAA's notice to air mission system began Tuesday afternoon and continued overnight. NOTAMs alert pilots to current conditions and potential safety issues on their route. This failure comes a week after another FAA system glitch delayed flights at key Florida airports.
CBS News has learned that more documents marked classified dating from President Biden's tenure as vice president have been found at least one additional location than previously known. CBS's Arden Farhi has more.
The discovery was made after lawyers for Mr. Biden found the first batch of roughly 10 documents at a private office in Washington, D.C. on November 2nd. It is not clear when or where the additional documents with classified markings were found. The U.S. attorney charged with investigating the Biden documents is aware of the additional material and has explored the possibility that sensitive documents could be at other locations.
Cleanup is taking place in California as the state braces for yet another storm. CBS's Steve Futterman.
The rain hasn't completely gone away. In some places, it is dry. But even in locations where it's still coming down, it's far less intense. Cleanup crews are doing what they can before the next major storm comes in, opening up roads, clearing trees, trying to get power back for the tens of thousands who have lost it. This woman lives in Ventura County.
I've never seen anything like this in all my 41 years living in this city.
And at least three more storms are in the forecast during the next week to 10 days. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Embattled Republican Congressman George Santos of New York is facing more calls to step down.
Newly elected Congressman George Santos is defiant in the halls of Congress.
Will you step down? Yes.
I will not. Yes,
this as Republicans from his Long Island district called for him to resign during a news conference in the morning. Nassau County Republican Party Chair Joe Cairo.
There's no place in the Nassau County Republican Committee, nor should he serve in public service, nor as an elected official.
Federal prosecutors are looking into Santos's financial disclosures after he admitted to lying about many parts of his resume ahead of winning a seat. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Electric vehicles dominate an important awards competition. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
Ford's F-150 Lightning takes home North American Truck of the Year. Kia's EV6 is Utility of the Year. It's the first time that two of the three winners are electric. The one exception, the gasoline-powered Acura Integra, which was named North American Car of the Year.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. Wisconsin needs more housing if the working age population is to grow. Current estimates show over 140,000 more housing units are needed by 2030. The number of new houses built in Wisconsin has been declining, with about 260,000 built in the 90s compared to 150,000 in the last decade. Wisconsin County's Association Director Dale Knapp tells WisPolitics, single-family homes are needed if we want to attract workers to Wisconsin. Knapp says high interest rates and a recent slowdown in new construction has added to the problem. Cigarette sales significantly down in Wisconsin over the last 20 years. A Wisconsin Policy Forum report shows sales dropped from 420 million packs of cigarettes sold in 2001 to just under 193 million last year. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life, three wives later, and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So while yesterday I did praise the House Republicans and Democrats for coming together on a bipartisan, in a bipartisan way to come up with this select committee on China, I think it's something we definitely need. Maybe undo some of the horrible policies that have lost millions of manufacturing jobs and screwed over the working class of this country for a variety of ways and means. I gave him some credit there. Well, they... Republicans then undid all of that goodwill by coming up with this select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. And you know Jim Jordan is going to be the head carnival barker. And we're going to get such fun and entertainment out of this. It's going to be like talk radio in Congress. I'm actually looking forward to it, to be honest with you. I want to see just how far, to use a Happy Days analogy, just how far they jumped the shark. And here to share some thoughts on how far this goes, how deep we go into the depths of idiocy, I've asked our good friend Carolyn Fiddler to come talk with us. Carolyn is the political editorial director over at Courier Newsroom, couriernewsroom.com, the website. Carolyn, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, I'm really glad to be here. And all I want to know is if Jim Jordan's ever going to find his suit jacket. Where's the committee on that?
Yes, where's the committee on the suit jacket? Actually, where's the committee on where was he during all of the gym time that all of the bad things were going on? Again, I always find it interesting that people are looking for all of these things when they've got all those things in their past.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this?
I don't know.
What do you make of this subcommittee on subcommittee on the weaponization of government? We're gonna find out what size underwear Hunter Biden wears. Inquiring minds want to know, right?
No one wants to know that. No one actually wants to know that. And more importantly, no one cares because it doesn't actually help a single American human. Like, it benefits nobody.
No, I mean, but it's gonna be this kind of outrage candy committee. I mean, like I said a minute ago, it's talk radio in Congress.
Yeah, it's the Fox Newsification of Congress. That's all it is. It's for Fox News content.
Because
they
believe
hard for the last couple of years, and now it's all just getting just handed to them on a platter.
But they're now going to do this under the justification of, well, look what they did to Donald Trump. And you go, but wait a second, Donald Trump did commit crimes. He did things. I don't know how Hunter Biden has anything to do with our government.
I mean, like, has he ever held elected office? Not that I know of. I'm not saying he never has, but he certainly doesn't now. And also, yeah, when the other guy was president and, like, did a lot of actual crimes.
No, this is one of those things where, you know, I had someone go, well, don't you care that, you know, Joe Biden may have done something for him? I go, you know, every politician, it's called nepotism. You know, every kid, I go back to when I was a kid. Billy Carter was selling Billy beer off of the fact that his brother was president. This happens. It didn't mean that Jimmy Carter was out there hawking beer or using the federal government to sell the beer. And there's if you can't draw me a straight line from Joe Biden calling up, you know, the Ukrainian government going, hey, my kid needs a job and I'm not sending you weapons until you get him a job, then it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, and, you know, Republicans had no problem with nepotism when Trump was in the White House and had his daughter a senior advisor. Jared Kushner was something.
Yeah.
Where's kids were getting paid. I can't even.
Where's the select committee on the $2 billion from the Saudis that went to Jared Kushner?
And where's the select committee and all that money that went to George Santos?
George Santos. But are you surprised that a character like that, you know, climbs up through the ranks of the Republican Party after you've had a president who's, what, lied, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 times?
I mean, when you put it like that, I guess not. But at the same time, also, yes, because, like, nothing about what he said about himself seems to have been true other than that he is a human being who is alive. Like, I don't know what else.
I'm sure he's not an AI.
Is correct. Yeah, I guess he could be an android. I don't know.
But here's the thing, and I look at this select committee and the potential hearings we're going to have to live through, because Jordan was, you know, instrumental in that Benghazi hearing that went on for literally ever.
Yeah.
And I expect we're going to get, you know, a lot about the southern border. I suspect we're going to get a lot about what's going on in Afghanistan. I suspect, you know, Fauci is going to be front and center a lot.
Oh, God, right.
I suspect, you know, Merrick Garland. I suspect they're going to go after the Justice Department, who has literally done nothing. I suspect they're going to go after them, too.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go after them and, by extension, the FBI. Yeah, they're mad at everybody and just want to sit around and be mad as loudly as possible for Fox News.
Now, is this going to be helpful? How do you see as the editorial director there? Because I look at where I'm sitting in this chair, all of this insanity, all of this lunacy is going to be fertile ground for content. You know, as political editorial director there at Courier Newsroom, how do you see this playing out for you guys?
I mean, what's the quote? A bunch of sound and fury signifying nothing. Like, this doesn't do anything to help normal, everyday, middle class, hardworking Americans. None of this impacts their lives. And I feel very fortunate that I work for a news organization where we deliver news to our audience that not just horse race, not just BS that happens in DC. We deliver to them news that they need to improve their lives. We deliver news that they need to be informed citizens and informed voters. Jim Jordan's nonsense hearing doesn't meet that bar.
So you're talking about boring news then. None of that stuff that you know, that stuff I'm going to look at and I'm not going to click on because, oh, wow, inquiring want to know, minds want to know, you know, how big is it? Never mind.
Well, you know, all of our states right now, except for Florida, are just about to be in or just started their legislative session. So lots of things are actually happening in states all across the country.
No, and that's important.
Almost everyone's in session right now.
Let's talk about Virginia. Virginia, just yesterday, I believe, you had a Democrat win a key Senate seat, which is going to hopefully maybe stop some craziness, because I guess Chunkin' Yunkin' gave a little spiel here. Was it yesterday?
Today. It's today. The Commonwealth was just a few hours ago.
And I guess, you know, hitting on the same old notes, we're going to destroy public education, we're going to put you women folk back where you belong, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen making pie, right?
It's very specific. There is no mention of pie that I recall.
No pie? See, I could have gotten on board, but if there's no pie.
But he made clear that his priorities are a 15-week abortion ban and defunding public education and some tax things and yada yada, but Republicans have a majority in the state house, and now Democrats have a bigger majority in the state Senate, thanks to that special election down in Hampton Roads just last night. It was a real squeaker, and the district is changing in redistricting. So Rouse, who won it, is going to run for reelection. And I believe the 22nd Senate district, which is a little different than the composition's a little different, but there's overlap with the current 7th. Anyway, the upshot is that by Democrats adding one more member to their caucus, they have completely defanged Joe Morrissey, who is the last elected anti-abortion Democrat in Virginia, and he is in the state Senate, and he was that 21st vote out of 40 members of the state Senate. And now we have a little buffer so everyone can ignore him.
And that's always a good thing because, you know, that but here's the question, you know, that issue, you know, at some point, does that go away? Because, look, I look at the last election. It is the reason that Democrats didn't get the slaughter that everyone anticipated. The reason at least I believe, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, that the red wave didn't materialize because women were ticked. You know, at some point, does that outrage go away if we keep just blocking things long enough to get to the next election cycle?
I don't think so. I mean, because that right is, you know, the right exists in Virginia currently, but Republicans clearly want to do away with it. There are already a slew of bills, either banning abortion outright, life begins at conception, you know, various X number of weeks abortion bans. Like, Republicans are making it clear that outlawing, getting rid of women's reproductive freedom is a high priority for them, and it's going to remain so. And so it's going to remain a very salient issue at the ballot box through this November.
Yes, I've always
which I don't know if all of your listeners and viewers know, Virginia has its state legislative elections this fall because there's an election every single year in Virginia.
What a I know it's a crazy state. I get that. Let's go to Michigan. Let's go to Michigan. Michigan's a state that I'm hoping will show Democrats the way.
Oh my gosh! Yes, the new Democratic majorities in Michigan are just coming out swinging. They're like, okay, we have power now, and we're going to use it, and it's just so great to see.
I wish Virginia would have done that a couple years ago when they had the power to do so. But, you know, for me, Michigan's looking at repealing all of the bad anti-worker stuff, the attacks on prevailing wage, the no rights at work stuff, you know, expanding the earned income tax credit, doing some stuff to help working families. This I've been saying for years. Democrats, if you are listening, that's what you need to be doing.
No, I agree. I think that the histories of the state have a little bit more to do with what majorities feel comfortable doing with power. Even when Democrats were in control in Virginia, you know, back before 2000, they were a very conservative political party. And so not only did they have to deal with their new majority status that they hadn't enjoyed in decades at that point when they finally got it back in 2019, they were not used to being in power as a progressive party. And I think it took them a little time to get their sea legs, and then they lost their House majority. And here we are.
But, and that's what happens when you don't have your quote unquote stuff together.
But Michigan, the Democrats were in the majority there not that long ago, about a little more than 10 years ago. It's the last time Democrats had a majority in that state house. So they're not completely unacquainted with being in charge. And until pretty recently, Michigan had all these very progressive policies that Republicans decided to do away with in the 2010s because they had all this power and were very thirsty.
Let's move over to Wisconsin. You got Wisconsin, the speaker there, that Robin Voss, saying no recreational marijuana, none for you.
Yeah, I think that he's just part of that reefer madness generation that I'm not sure. I think it's very difficult to sway those. And, you know, this is some real anecdata here, but I know it took me a long time to convince my own parents, who are, you know, generally very progressive about this sort of thing, that weed was not a scary, terrible thing that was going to lead to ruin, because they just kind of grew up in that generation. I think it's pretty beaten into them, the whole war on drugs. They were, you know, they were teachers in the 80s, and all you get are DARE officers coming into school showing the packets of, I don't know, meth or whatever they used to.
Did they actually carry meth with them?
I'm pretty sure all the drugs in that briefcase were fake, because the liability issues associated with bringing actual cocaine into a school seem pretty extreme.
Seems a bit extreme to me. It does. But the good thing is you're out there reporting on the important issues to keep people well informed, and none of this clickbait stuff either. That is a good thing. Now I got to get you. Lastly, I know you're a big Twitter person like I am. Well, really not. I don't think either of us really are. But evidently the story hath come. Are you concerned that Elon Musk is going to sell your Twitter name?
No one wants my Twitter handle.
I do.
CFIDD. Who wants that? It's my first initial and the first four letters of my last name. I know there are other CFIDs out there, but if they're really thirsting after that as their Twitter handle, fine, I guess. I don't know.
But it comes up to you, evidently our richest guy is floundering.
When he's... Yeah, no, the richest guy is not as clever as he really wanted everyone to believe, it seems.
So what's the big story? What's the big story this week? What are you paying attention to? What's the focus for the next couple of days?
Well, my attention is split. Paying attention to what's happening in Congress. Now the Republicans finally have a speaker. Sorry.
For how long? Are you taking?
Oh, not long.
You're taking bets on how long that is?
3 months.
3 months.
Sorry.
You going 3 months?
I'm going 3 months. I think there's going to be a lot of tap dancing, a lot of attempts to show unity, but I think, you know, that's going to wear off pretty quickly, and people are going to be mad about not getting what they thought they were promised in this secret deal to give him the speakership. And, you know, Matt Gaetz is going to lie low for a while, but then he's going to pop up and be like, hey, let's get rid of the speaker, and it's going to be super fun for Democrats.
No, look, I'm glad Democrats played it the way they did. Stay out of it. Don't bail them out. Don't come up with a consensus person to try and help. Don't be helpful. Let them.
No, they did exactly what they needed to do. But yeah, so Republicans are having all these show votes, you know, outlawing abortion. Just they're revealing their values right now to the American people. So focusing on that and making sure that folks know that what Republicans in Congress are standing for and standing against. And what they're standing against are everyday working Americans, because they're not doing a single thing to try and help them.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Carolyn, I appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work there at Courier Newsroom. I'll look forward to having you back again real soon.
Thank you.
Our good friend Carolyn Fidler, the political editorial director there, CareerNewsroom.com, the website. We'll get links out on social media. Hi, you can take a look at that. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is the Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I remember the first time I said that that Republicans want to take away contraceptive rights. It was probably about 12 years ago. And I got a lot of pushback. No, we just care about abortion. We just care about the unborn babies. We love babies. And who doesn't? I love babies too. And look, you know, the reality is I want people to want to have children and to be able to love them and take care of them and give them opportunities. And I want policies that are going to move in that direction. And I've always found it remarkable that the people who would spend their entire days, you know, marching around in the streets saying, no, we can't have abortion, are the ones who are going to fight against having a social safety net to make sure that they don't that they don't fund anything to take care of those kids. But it turns out Alabama's looking into prosecuting women who take the morning after pill. They're going to be using a law designed to protect children from meth lab fumes to get around the gymnastics to get to this. But they're talking about being able to prosecute women who take the morning after pill. And get ready for your local this summer's activities. because those crazy people who were marching out in front of the abortion clinics, not going to have to do that anymore. They're going to your local CVS and Walgreens. You know why? They're going to try and stop CVS and Walgreens from selling the morning after pills. Again, it's about the contraception. It's that simple. Let's quick go to the phone lines. We got Eric on line one. Eric, how are we doing today? Eric, what's on your mind? I think we lost Eric. All right, Eric, you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, doing great. No, excellent show. Just wanted to add to the discussion what you were saying, how, again, Republicans don't care. Well, let's start pointing out, because it's the time is right, the time has come, to start pointing out simple realities that everyday working people see and connecting some dots, meaning, you know what, yeah, Republicans don't care about the working, the working class. When was the last time you've heard a Republican advocate for, let's say, a 30-hour work week? Or how about a 4-day work week? Or more vacation time? Why aren't they one-upping the union negotiations, saying, you know what, 3 weeks vacation, that's too damn little. We need to give them 6 or 8. When was the last time that happened?
Never.
None. Also, they love, you know, again, it's fine to keep a single-parent household. Well, then why don't you pay them enough money? So what, he works as a manager at McDonald's. Why can't he support himself and his family so then, you know, they can put a roof over their head and food on the table, you know, enough to get maybe, you know, enough for a rainy day and have a good time? When was the last time that happened? None. That's how you know they don't care. Why do we always get shafted with these tax bills? We see Trump's tax returns now. Did it hurt him at all? He still seems to be rich. A lot of these guys still seem to be rich. Yet who are the ones, you know, financing this party? Us. We're doing it through our taxes. We're doing it through our, you know, the price gouging. And none of them care. Notice how they've stopped talking about food prices and gas prices.
I love this guy. I love you, man.
And that's, yeah, I just wanted to share that. So you keep up the good work, man.
Good stuff, Eric. I appreciate it, man. No, seriously, this is he's spot on. And I say this all the time. Republicans hate working people. Just look at their policies. And in fact, you know, when was the last time the Republicans came up with an idea for a 30-hour work week or more sick days? He's right. Never. Never. These are the people who want to bring back child labor. Remember Newt Gingrich when he ran for president? What'd he say? We're going to get rid of those union janitors and get the kids to do the work. Remember that? This is who they are. And for me, the sad reality is we keep falling into this hole. Eric is spot on right. And we need more understanding of just how bad we've been getting screwed over by a system that doesn't care about working people. And look, you know, to be honest, the Democrats haven't always been my best friend either. It's our job to push them. And I keep telling my Republican friends, I want Republicans who care about working people. Just as much as I want Democrats to care about working people. The difference is I actually believe the Democrats do care. Because they do put forth policies to increase the minimum wage. To make sure that we do the right thing on overtime. You know, the fact during the Obama years, they wanted to increase the threshold, the minimum wage to overtime exemption up to $47,000, a meager $47,000. And the Republicans lost their freaking minds. Sued, it never happened. Trump comes in, they dropped it down to somewhere in the 35 range. Which means if you're working at the fast food place, you're working at a grocery store, you're working at a retail store. If you're making 35 grand a year, they can work you 100 hours a week. Historically, that number has been you somewhere in the 50-60 range, which is where it should be to get an overtime exemption. We should be demanding that, you know what? That 40-hour work week should be sacrosanct. Maybe we should be talking about a 30-hour work week, especially as AI comes online. We should be talking about how we improve lives, how things get better. But not when we got the kind of division and destruction that's going on in the House right now. No, not none whatsoever. We still got companies. We're going to buy back all our shares so we can screw workers out of wages. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. Gets me started down that path of anger because we continually get this stuff shoved down our throats. And it's going to take us waking up It's going to take us putting down our red hats and our blue hats and putting on a hard hat and standing together and fighting for working class values. Just my view. I want to hear yours, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you've got a question, comment, something on your mind, by all means, send me an email. Also, you have the opportunity, check out the podcast. If you missed any portion of the show, wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours, from Stitcher to Podbean and everywhere in between.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Another day of nightmares for airline passengers as an FAA computer outage forced the cancellation and delays of more than 10,000 flights. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The FAA confirms it appears a corrupted database file kicked off this latest aviation meltdown. There's a growing list of lawmakers on Capitol Hill on both sides of the aisle demanding answers.
More documents marked classified from President Biden's tenure as VP were found in at least one other location than previously known. GOP House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has questions.
Why did they treat President Trump totally different than DOJ? Why did they raid? This is a man that's been in office for more than 40 years. This is a man who prides himself on knowing all this. Why does he treat people different?
The death toll in storm-weary California is at least 18. CBS's Carter Evans.
In Santa Cruz County, the San Lorenzo River could overflow its banks again. Last weekend, water and mud poured into Howard Berman's home.
It's great living on the river. It's not so great living in the river.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republican state lawmakers are moving to change Wisconsin's cash bail system. That's after some high-profile crimes committed by people who were free on bail. They say their proposed constitutional amendment would let judges take more factors into account when setting bail. Democrats argue it discriminates against poor people accused of crimes. 21 states and federal courts have eliminated cash bail systems. The Mega Millions lottery prize on Friday will be the second biggest in the history of the game. The top prize is $1.35 billion and climbing after no one picked all the winning numbers last night. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night 69-65. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta and Marquette hosts UConn. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, if you listen to any talk radio today, oh my goodness gracious, Joe Biden is coming for the gas stoves. You're never going to be able to cook in your house again because Joe Biden is coming for the stoves, man. And you've got Ronnie Jackson who said, oh, gosh, you'll take my gas stove for my cold, dead hands. What the hell? What was wrong with people? Oh, never going to give up my gas stove, he says. If the maniacs in Washington come for my stove, they can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Can you imagine, you know, little Ronnie, drunken Ronnie? You know, actually, I can actually picture that. You know, drunk on the floor, you know, hugging the, thinking it's the toilet, but it's actually the stove. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, but he's all losing his mind because there's some concerns of the indoor pollution. And I've always wondered because the smell is bad. But we shall see. But again, latest outrage, latest bit of outrage candy to make people angry and hate Joe Biden. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the latest outrage and, well, the GOP House Clown Show. I've asked my good friend Will Bunch to come talk with us. Will is a national columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, also the author of the fabulous book After the Ivory Tower Falls, which you can get over at the A Place. Really, really good price right now. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at that. Will, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So they're coming for the gas stoves, Will.
It's, you know, the image of Ronnie Jackson, you know, the burning himself to death with his, I don't know if they're going to be like cold dead hands or like red hot dead hands from grabbing those burners, but anything to own the libs, you know, it's just crazy. My my good friend Rex Hupke, who's a columnist for USA Today, says the government they're stove troopers. You know, he's making fun of it, but Biden's stove troopers are coming for your gas at home. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, it's like. I mean, it's COVID, but funnier. You know, it's like anything that might be for the public good, that the idea the government can weigh in on anything that might be good for public health is an assault on your freedom now. You know, so you know, thank God we grandfathered in a few public health regulations before they totally lost their minds. You know, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it is where we are in this moment. When I saw that tweet, I'm going, my mind just started going in a whole bunch of places because, you know, we know Ronnie Jackson has a past and I don't want to make fun of his substance abuse problems. But, you know, the idea of, you know, hugging on to something, you know, that just kept, you know, floating through my mind. And, well, it is where it is.
Yeah, but, you know, it is fitting, though. I mean, they go straight to the. They go straight to the gun control metaphor, right? You know, it's like first they're coming for the guns, now they're coming for our grills, you know, now they're coming for our gas, because that's the mindset, you know. Governments, you know, they want to take our guns, so I guess they want to take everything else too. So
did I see something today on Twitter about in Congress there's a push. I mean, we were talking about the right to bear arms, that there's a push for women to, you know, some kind of clothing restrictions. Am I seeing something like that?
Clothing restrictions.
Yeah, because they don't want women, you know, having, I just saw a couple of tweets that caught my attention and made me go, is Christian Sharia law around the corner? And I thought,
I was gonna say, was that Congress? Was that the Afghanistan Congress maybe, or no?
Yeah, it was Congress again. And it's one of those things where you go, I don't know, are we moving in a weird direction?
Yeah, we are.
And speaking of the House GOP clown show, I don't know if you've been following this George Santos thing. Very interesting,
big time. Yeah,
you know,
now he said. He apparently had told the Nassau Republicans that he was the star player on Baruch College's championship volleyball team. So, I mean, the guy's just a compulsive liar. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be embarrassed you didn't go to college and make up a college degree. Other politicians have done that, but he can't stop there. He didn't just go to college. He was the star player on the famous Baruch College volleyball team. So, you know, his mother died twice, you know, once on 9/11 and again in 2016, because why? He's clearly a troubled, he's a compulsive liar, you know, and the fact that he's been in Congress for even a week is just appalling, right? I mean,
yeah, now it's interesting because, you know, I look at the Republicans and look, I've said for a while, the Republicans hate working people, but you look at the former guy who was probably the most prolific liar of that office. And look, you know, politicians are generally pretty good prevaricators. The former guy was much better than the average. It's interesting that you now have the Nassau County Republicans wanting this guy to resign because he's a liar. I mean, that just shows how it's even too far for them, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of that press conference by the head of the Nassau County Republican. He said something like, you know, his you know, prevarications and lies went too far or something, which implies that there was a line where some lies wouldn't have gone too far. You know, some lies would have been okay, but he just crossed some line where he told too many lies, apparently, even for today's Republican Party.
Yeah.
But, you know, and, you know, I mean, on one hand, good on the Nassau County Republicans for calling on him to resign, but how did they run this guy in two, not once, but twice? They ran him in 2020 and again in 2022 for, you know, this competitive seat for this serious major job, you know, serving that district in Congress. And they didn't try and recruit a better candidate than this guy who just showed up, walked in one day and nobody knew who he was. And
who ran against him? Who doesn't do the op research to go, no, this guy's full of it, giantly full of it. And where was the New York Times? I know it's kind of nice they finally came out with the story. You know when the story would have been helpful? Oh, I don't know, back in October?
Yeah, if you know the lay of the land, see, I worked on Long Island and I worked for, I mean, the district is half in, Santos's district is half in Long Island and half in Queens, which is, Queens is New York City, you know, the New York Times, not that the New York Times takes Queens very seriously, but the other half of the district, Nassau County, Long Island, has a local hometown newspaper, Newsday, which in its heyday, which was when I worked there in the 1980s, was huge in terms of staff. They had a huge budget. I know for a fact that they covered the heck out of local congressional races because in 1986, I was on that beat, and I covered a couple local congressional races for Newsday. And, you know, we wouldn't have let that happen back then, you know, because we just spent too much time on those races. And now they don't. Now the staff is a tiny fraction of what it was 30 or 40 years ago. You know, and these races get the most cursory coverage, if they get any coverage at all. And there was no vetting of this guy, and it's a shame. I mean, there's still. I was talking about this with somebody else today. I mean, there's still a lot of great journalists working today, and a lot of great local journalists. There's just not enough of them. It's just that, you know, there's just not enough. It's too, the papers are too small. They don't have enough reporters. The reporters who work there are overworked. You know, are covering, you know, don't have enough time to dig into these people and their records, because, you know, the fact that, you know, when the New York Times finally got around to checking a month after the election, which is just kind of incredible, but when they finally made a couple phone calls, it was pretty easy to find out that this guy didn't have a college degree, that he didn't work at Goldman Sachs, he didn't work at Citibank. One of the more amazing stories that came out about him was that this incident where a few years ago he was you know, dating this 18-year-old guy, and things weren't going well. And the guy that Santos was dating gave him these fake airline tickets for a trip they were supposed to go on, which was a clue. And so he was mad about that. And then he came home one day, and his cell phone was gone, and he thinks that Santos pawned his iPhone. And so he's like, "Who is this guy?" And this guy said in about a minute, he went on Google and found out about the criminal charges against Santos down in Brazil.
Yeah.
And yet not a single journalist found those until a month after the election.
What I find interesting is, you know, Santos voted against the omnibus bill. It wasn't even in Congress, but no problem putting that out. And again, these are these kind of things that, I don't know, you know, it plays into, for me, the right-wing frame that they're all crooks, they're all bad, the whole thing's broken. It continually plays into that frame. So I don't see any downside for them.
Yeah. Well, I think Santos lies because I think he's a compulsive liar, but what we're seeing now is the thing that's crazy is that his lies have been found out. And I mean, he should have really resigned, or he hadn't taken office yet or stepped down or whatever.
He says he's not resigning. He will not resign.
He will not resign. But I mean, it should have happened the day that first New York Times story came out. Should have been the end of his career, but it wasn't. And like you said, you know, because we just had 4 years of Donald Trump, who was documented, you know, lied or fibbed or told false statements over 30,000 times, according to the Washington Post when he was president. And the consequence of those 30,000 lies was nothing. I mean, he's, you know, he may, it's kind of hard to figure out the polls, but he may still be the front runner for the 2024 Republican nomination after telling 30,000 lies from the Oval Office, you know. I guess you wouldn't call this a lie, but I mean, that whole Access Hollywood tape came out, and he was still elected president 3 weeks later. And so if you're George Santos, you look at that and it's like, why should he resign? I mean, the guy's getting paid $3,000 every week to sit there in Congress. And, you know, and if McCarthy came out today, Kevin McCarthy came out today and said, well, I'm not going to put him on any major committees, you know. So great. So he'll get paid $3,000 a week for doing less work, you know. I mean, it's great for him. And, you know, McCarthy's keeping him around because there's going to be times where he needs that one vote, right? He's got such a narrow majority. I mean, he needed Santos's one vote to become speaker. So he wasn't going to do anything before Santos took office. And he needed Santos's vote to pass his rules package, you know, that is going to, you know, hold the government hostage in about 8 months. And there's going to be other things that, you know, with his 222 to 213 majority, he's going to need Santos's vote on other issues. And so they're going to keep him around at least until one of those prosecutors looking into him is finally going to get the goods and indict him. And until that happens, he's going to be a U.S. congressman. It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. So you brought up, you know, in a couple of months, the country's going to be held hostage. Do you think we finally shoot the hostage?
I'm not sure what shooting the hostage is in this case. You know,
defaulting, I mean, on the debt. I mean, you know, yeah. we've been flirting with that for a while. There have been Republicans who have talked about defaulting on it. You know, Mitch McConnell himself, you know, talking about, you know, teachers' pensions, said screw it, let them all go bankrupt. There's this want on the right to let the whole financial system just collapse so that the working people of this country really get screwed. I believe there are some people, not a lot, I do believe there are some who really just want to touch that button. Like Trump wanted to nuke a hurricane or drop the big one. I think there are people who truly want to see just what happens when we default. Does the world go into a global economic crisis? Does the sun come up tomorrow?
Well, sure. I mean, you had all those congressmen who wanted to see what happens when you don't vote for the speaker and keep voting and. I think that same kind of nihilism is going to be in play. You know, I mean, it's funny. It's a shame that they just can't cut the $75 billion from the defense budget. I actually support that. So if they could just do that part of it and forget the other stuff, maybe we could get a deal. But that's not what they want to do. They want to gut every domestic program, you know, every part of the safety net, you know, to the point where Social Security, Medicare, these programs that, you know, we thought were untouchable are going to be touched, or that's their plan. And, you know, and people think that there's a moderate faction within the GOP that can save us, but there's not.
Nope.
I mean, you know, look at yesterday, you know, this vote for this committee to investigate the, you know, the FBI and
the weaponization of government.
Thank you. I was trying to think of the word. Thank you. The weaponization of government committee. I mean, one of the people. Well, every Republican voted for that, including Brian Fitzpatrick, the congressman from the Philadelphia suburbs, who, I mean, aside from the fact that he's supposed to be the most moderate Republican, in addition to that, the guy is a former FBI agent, you know, and he's buying into this plan that says the FBI, where he worked all those years and established his reputation, is thoroughly corrupt, you know. I mean, I'm not.
Maybe he knows. I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's true. That's a good point. You know, it's funny because, you know, I grew, like you, I mean, I was raised in the image of J. Edgar Hoover. And so I'm not a huge fan of the FBI or of the CIA or those agencies. I mean, I think two things. I mean, I think they're certainly better than they were in the 60s and 70s, but I still think there's problems in those agencies. The problems that exist in those agencies aren't the things that these committees are going to look at.
Exactly.
The thing they really want to look at is legitimate investigations of activities of either themselves in some cases, like when it comes to January 6th, or their friends.
Yep.
Or Donald Trump, you know.
We're gonna clean the record for, you know, people like my Congressman Scott, pardon me, Perry. We're gonna clean the record for people like Matt Gaetz. We're gonna clean those records because we're gonna divert people from what the January 6th committee came out with. This is all about spin control.
And these investigations always end up being a joke. I mean, because we just saw one of those Durham or whatever his name is, investigation
Dunham.
Of the Russia probe, they charged two, and the dirty little secret is federal prosecutors, when they bring a case, they almost never lose. You know, I mean, they only bring cases they know they're going to win, and yet here this federal prosecutor lost not once but twice,
yep.
This was their effort to prove that, you know, the government had been weaponized.
We're going to hear nothing about, we're going to hear all kinds of stuff about the laptops. I'm sure Hillary's emails are going to come back up again. And now this thing with Biden the classified information that were in his offices, that they're coming forth. We're going to hear all this stuff. And it's going to be a constant drumbeat of this kind of outrage candy to get us completely away from the reality that Republicans don't have a plan on moving this country forward or helping working people meet the needs of today and tomorrow.
That's what drives me crazy. You know, I think the big, and I wrote this in a column over the weekend, you know, I think the biggest problem in the country right now is just the total disconnect between the things that a majority of the public wants and what they're getting out of Washington, either because of these obstructionists in Congress or because of the Supreme Court, who were created by these obstructionists in Congress, basically.
I see it a little bit differently, Will. This is what the moneyed interests want. They're happy.
Yeah.
There's nothing changing. They've got full control of the best democracy money can buy. They've got full control of government. It goes back to what my eighth grade government teacher said. Government decides who gets what. And the reality is the wealthy are getting everything that they want and the working people are getting nothing because, well, the wealthy have all the power.
Yeah. I mean, government's always a fight for resources. And, you know, that period, that brief shining moment we had in American history that was the New Deal and that period after World War II when unions had a lot of power in this country was the exception, you know, that one time where the pendulum had, you know, and you look back at that time and, for example, in the 1950s, CEOs were making, what, 35 times the average worker, which is still a lot, but
20 times.
It's not 350 times the average worker.
Or 5,000 like more, the Mattel CEO. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the tax rates were completely different and the incentives were different because, again, they've created laws to enrich themselves at the expense of the rest of us.
Because government is a battle for resources and power. And ever since 1980, when Ronald Reagan was elected, it's been the wealthy who've had that power. But yeah, well, I mean, when you say you have a different point of view, I mean, I don't know. I don't think your point of view is different. I mean, it's just like you're saying, the government is doing what the wealthy want, and as a result, it's not doing what the average person wants.
Exactly, you know? But it's doing what it's supposed to. What the people who wanted to do. There are winners in this. It's just not you and me.
Yeah,
it's not right. Us. Yeah. It's them, and that's where we've got to change things. But Will, I appreciate the time as always. Keep up the incredible work there. You are my favorite national columnist. I hope people take a look at the work that you do over there at the National Enquirer.
Thanks, sir.
We'll get links out so people can take a look at it. Will Bunch, thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thanks.
Our good friend Will Bunch. Make sure you check out the work that he does. We'll get links out. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. Today in labor history, the year was 1912. This historic day marked the beginning of the Bread and Roses strike of textile workers in Lawrence, Massachusetts. The strike was led by the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW. The state of Massachusetts passed a law reducing the work week for women and children from 56 hours to 54 hours. On this date, a group of Polish women at one textile mill opened their paychecks to find their wages had been cut by 32 cents. They promptly walked off the job in protest. Soon they were joined by many more workers. The strike swelled to over 20,000 strikers representing more than 50 different nationalities, shutting down most of the mills in Lawrence. The strike proved that it was possible to organize women workers and to organize across ethnic lines, two groups that many union leaders of the day thought too difficult to bring into unions. Despite police violence against them, the strikers stood strong. They won most of their demands, including a 15% pay raise. But why did the strike go down in history as the Bread and Roses strike? The line fittingly came from a woman named Rose. In 1912, Rose Schneiderman, a labor leader and suffragist, said, "What the women who labor wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as the rich woman has the right to life. And the sun and music and art. You have nothing that the humblest worker has not a right to have also. The worker must have bread, but she must have roses too."
Gather them again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in Two.
So Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke, you may remember him. He was, I think, Interior Secretary for about, 18 minutes. Didn't he have something with pens? There's something, pens in a door or something, something. An enormous amount of spending, riding horses in Washington, D.C. Some bit of craziness, if you remember him getting in the middle of. Because, hey, it's all about me. I need attention. Love me. Evidently, on the floor, ranting about the deep state. Because evidently, according to him, the deep state doesn't want there to be any cowboys anymore. He said, "There is no doubt the federal government deep state coordinates with liberal activists and uses politicians and willing media to carry their water. In many cases, they want to wipe out the American cowboy completely."
Oh.
Yeah, he said that. Now, look, you know, this kind of rhetoric plays big in Montana. You may remember Montana used to be something of a sane, rational state. They used to split the ticket. They used to be a fairly, you know, swing moderate kind of leaning right-ish. Now, well, because of all of the right wing money and all of the wealthy folk who have gone there to take over, they're solidly in the oh my gosh crazy. And a big part of it is, look, it's like what we found in Iowa. It's that whole Christian conservative extremist movement combined with outrage talk radio and a constant drumbeat of be afraid of those others. They're coming for your children. And now, of course, the gas stoves. This is what's done it. This is what's radicalized a good portion of America. And that's why we need to start fighting back on that. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.